Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. What a beautiful day it is. The coolness in the air this morning. We thank you for the rain you sent us. Lord, we want to pray for some people right now, Lord, especially those out in Houston and the Texas area and other areas, Lord, that were impacted by the hurricane. God, we just pray for peace and help and comfort for them. And Lord, we want to pray for our folks here today who are out traveling about this weekend. Pray for safe travel for them. We thank you, God, for allowing us to make it here this morning. God, we just pray that in this service today, we'll do nothing to offend you, but that it'll all be for your glory and honor. The singing that we're going to hear, the word we're going to hear, God, let it just glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is our first Sunday service, and we normally have some additional music, and so we're going to start off this morning. I'm going to ask Emma Walker to come up and bring our first song, worship this morning, and then we're going to have a couple of others come forward.
Amen.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You
Okay, now I'm going to ask two of our other young ladies to come up, Angela Newberry and Rose Wilder. She's going to join us this morning, so looking forward to hearing their words.
Amen. Okay, so we don't have the CD for this one because I may or may not have lost it. Okay. Okay. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
Amen.
When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us. Oh, he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is in ocean, we're all sinking.
Amen.
And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves.
Then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen three times. It got better, but
quite, you know.
Whose is this? I'm gonna. You don't want me to... Oh, wave your hand and tell them you got your driver's license this week, too. She pulled in on Wednesday night, and I said, are you supposed to be driving? She said, yeah, I just got my driver's license. I said, please let me get out of the parking lot before you drive out today. All right. I had an experience in the last couple of weeks here that most of you probably sometimes in your life have done also. How many of you have ever driven on 285 in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miss Kay back there loves to drive on 285 in Atlanta. Because, I'm going to tell you why. She can tell the state patrol, say, I'm 90 years old, man. I'm driving 90. Hey, what about it?
That's right.
No, the experience that I had, I was on 285, and here I'm just following the flow with the traffic, you know, as it's going, and I'm doing roughly, somewhere between 85 and 100. Okay? So here I am, and we've got, next thing I know, I see this little blue light. Mm-hmm. So he pulls me over, and I pull over, and he walks up and says, and I have my driver's license, my insurance card, and my Ingalls Advantage card. Now, you know what the Ingalls Advantage card is. You get a discount. So I thought, hey, maybe you'll give me a discount. But it didn't work. Anyway, so he looks at it, and he said, Mr. Higdon, he said, you were driving a little fast there, weren't you, sir? And I said, well, sir, I was just going with the traffic. And I said, there was a BMW in front of me, a Lexus over here, and an 18-wheeler over here. And I was just following all behind them. Well, I got to deducting why he stopped me. And I did. BMW just had they apparently had just bought it. Didn't even have a tag on it. The Lexus didn't have a tag on it. And he was figuring, he said, they hadn't paid for that BMW. They hadn't paid for that Lexus. And you don't want the payments on that 18-wheeler. So he looked at my little 2001 GMC truck and he said, it's paid for, so he can pay the ticket. So that's how I deducted that. But didn't work. So anyway, he kept asking, he was talking to me, and I was trying to reason out why he chose me. That was my reasoning, but I wanted to know his. And I said, sir, I was just really driving with the flow of the traffic. And he said, Mr. Higdon, have you ever been fishing? I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, well, when you throw that hook in there and there's a lot of fish in there, you can only catch one. And I thought, well, that makes sense. And I thought for a few minutes, I looked at him, I said, Mr. State Patrol, have you ever been fishing? He said, yes, sir, I have. I said, have you ever thrown one back? Key to driving on 285 is honk if you love Jesus. Text while you're driving if you want to meet him. Amen. Take your books there and turn to hymn number 560. Oh, how I love Jesus. Such a beautiful, beautiful song. It's got such a beautiful message to it. And we love because he first loved us. Amen. And we're going to start off. I want you to stand with me. We're going to start off on the chorus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, when each sorrow bears a part. Let me hear you sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir. Amen.
Was grace that
Thank all of you for singing with us this morning. Let's all turn our hymnals for our offertory hymn to page 606. We'll stand as we sing. 606, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. We'll sing all three verses.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall
I'll stand and we'll sing together. Seek Ye First, page 524. 524. we'll take just a few minutes and greet each other in God's love.
Thank you. exactly what's going on. Sit there and see how long it took everybody to start buzzing in here. It didn't take about 10 seconds. Preacher ain't up yet. Well, it's good. How many of you are glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. I want to I appreciate all the prayers and well wishes and everything. Vicky's dad passed away, went on to be with the Lord early Saturday morning. The Apostle Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So anytime that happens, it's time for rejoicing. Amen. And the way it went and everything. But we appreciate all of your condolences and everything. And I know Vicky certainly does. So it's just good to be here today.
Amen.
I'm going to rejoice because I know this death gives way to victory. Amen.
Amen.
Now, sometimes I get up here, I can't honestly say that, but today I can. So, and that's one of the promises God's given us, and that's going to be one of them I'm going to talk about in this series, is the promise of eternal life. But that's probably going to be the last one in the series because that's the most important one of all right there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all happy today?
Amen.
Amen. All right, good deal. Have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 23.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Weezy, your grandchild is in shock over there every time. Weezy's like, amen. She's like,
hey, this is her hollering church.
Oh, is this her hollering church?
Yeah,
amen.
Hollering church.
All right, well, praise God for that, man. Amen. Guys, for those of you that weren't here last week, we started a series entitled Promises from God. We focused last week on Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. We found several promises within that verse right there. And guys, that's an important verse. I thought it was a great verse to start this series off with. Today, we're going to talk about some roadblocks to those promises, because there are some things that if we don't do our part and we don't understand certain things, that there can be roadblocks to these promises that God has given us. Now, when God gives a promise, it's a done deal. Amen.
Amen.
It's already done. There's no going back on it, unlike some of us, right? How many of you ever went back on a promise? Be honest. Raise your hand. Okay. Amen. Woo! Bunch of sinners up in the house today. Amen.
You got your work cut out.
Amen. I got work cut out today. Amen. No, guys, we've all done that, right? Man, I promise you I'm going to do better. Didn't do good that time. Kids, y'all tell your teachers and all that, right? Y'all just don't care, amen? I know, I've been teaching for 30 years. I understand. Amen. But, guys, promises we make are not like the promises God's given us. God's promises are there for us to help us grow and be better people and understand what His kingdom's all about. Our promises are based on emotions most of the time, right? Most of the time when we promise somebody something, it's because something has happened that we need to try to correct. We don't just generally say, I promise you I'm going to do good, unless we've done bad, right? I mean, that's the way it goes most of the time. But God's promises are eternal and have eternal value and have life-changing value. And that's what I want you to understand, the difference between God's promises and the promises we give. So I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in reverence and honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read three verses. Yeah, 14 through 16. 40, yeah, that's three verses, amen. I had to count and make sure. We're going to read Joshua chapter 23, verse 14 through 16. It says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you." Father God, we, Lord, just thank you for your word. God, we just pray now in the next few minutes, Lord, that you'll empty myself of me and let this not be anything about me, but all about you, Lord, and for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was a little late getting the sermon notes to Louise today. If anybody didn't get a copy of them, we have some up here if you want to get a copy. If you'll just raise your hand, we'll make sure you get them. You shaking? You all right, Weezy?
Yeah, you got me excited.
You mixed it up for me, amen? I appreciate it. All right, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Anybody need a copy of that didn't get one? Just want to be sure everybody has one. Guys, how many of you here believe today that the promises God has given us are true in His Word?
Amen.
Everybody believe that? Yes. Everybody believe that? You believe these promises are yours for the taking?
Yes.
Amen. I mean, we got to take them. Reach out and take them. Those promises are for you. Now, there are going to be some things we're going to talk about this morning that you've got to do and be in order to be able to tap into these promises. And there's certain stipulations that have to be met we're going to talk about. But guys, those promises are there. There are thousands of promises in God's Word from the New Testament all the way back to the Old Testament. Some were promises given to specific people, like I said last week. But some of them are just promises in general that everybody can tap into. So that's what I want us to understand today. We're going to continue today with part two of this series by discussing some roadblocks to God's promises. Now, you know, I wish I could say that, oh, God's promises are for everyone, but they're not. They're simply not. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But hey, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus, those promises are there for you. Amen. They're there for you. I hope when we complete this that you'll have a better understanding of what we're talking about here. There's three things that I believe with all my heart are true in reference to God's promises. I believe that if we don't believe these things and practice these things, we will not be able to claim these promises in our lives. Let's look at these three this morning. And when I looked at my clock, I was like, whew, 11:18, amen. And nothing better than a Baptist preacher like to see that you got 40 minutes for us, 12 o'clock, amen. No, I won't take that long, I promise you. But guys, I want to cover this with you today. The first thing is this. The first thing that I believe we have to understand in order to claim these promises is that the instructions are not flawed. The instructions in God's Word are not flawed. In verse 14, let me backpedal up to that. It said, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, and all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." In other words, Joshua's about to end his earthly ministry here. But he told the people, he said, not one of the things that God promised has not come to pass. That was a powerful thing to tell these people here. Joshua's doing two things here. He's letting Israel know that his earthly leadership's about to come to a close, while at the same time he's telling them that after he's gone, there's still something that remains that's going to continue leading them, and that's God's promises. His promises are going to continue to lead them. For us to receive any of these promises from God, guys, let me just tell you something. We got to affirm in our hearts that the Bible truly is God's Word. Do you believe that God's Word is God spoken, written down of men, and there for us to understand what God wants us to know? Do you believe that in your heart?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Guys, that's what it's all about. You know, some people think God's Word is just a storybook. Oh, it's just a big book of a bunch of stories about a man named Jesus. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. This book is full of promises and it's full of lessons for us to learn and to apply to our lives each and every day. For us to receive any of these promises from God, we got to affirm in our hearts. We got to affirm in our hearts that the Bible is truly God's Word. It's His Word. If we confess with our mouths that it's God's Word, we must also believe in our hearts that it is. See, it's one thing to confess. I bet you if I ask everybody in here, how many of you believe that the Bible is God's Word? Everybody raise their hand. Okay? How many of you are confessing that it is every day by the way you're living your life? How many of you are actually confessing that, yeah, this is God's Word, and I'm going to follow what it says, and I'm going to live a life, my life, according to what His Word says? See, it's one thing. The Bible tells us we're to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Some people come to church week after week after week. They hear what's being spoken of, but they don't go out and do it. You know people like that? Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody want to point to somebody in here that's like that? Oh, yeah, good job, Weezy. Somebody pointed to their neighbor over there back there in the back. Amen. I like to say that to see if everybody's awake. Because some people point over there to their neighbor, and then somebody pointed at you, Dennis. I'm not going to say who it was. Amen. I'm just messing. Yeah. But anyhow, guys, we got to confess it with our mouths, but we got to believe in our hearts that it really is God's Word and that everything in it is true. It's the truth. We got to understand that. We should know in our heart that not one of God's promises He's given to us has failed. Is there anything you can show me in God's Word that was a promise given to us and to other people in the Bible that has ever failed? Has God failed to keep the promises that He's given us if we meet the stipulations He's laid out for us? Can anybody prove that one of those promises has not been true? Guys, I've seen a lot of them come to pass in my life. But you got to believe, first of all, that the Word, the instructions are not flawed. They're there. They're true. How do you think God feels when we fail to trust His Word, guys? The problem here, when God made these promises, when Joshua was reaffirming these promises, God's promises were true when He gave those promises to the Israelites. Hey, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. That promise was true. It wasn't that the promise was false. It's that the people receiving the promise did not really believe that the promise was going to ever come to pass. And in doing so, they didn't believe the promiser who was God. See, guys, if you don't believe some of the promises God's given us in His Word, you're basically saying, God, I don't believe what you're saying. I don't believe what you're saying. How do you think God feels when we fail to trust His Word? How do you think God feels when we fail to trust Him and believe in Him and just trust Him for our daily provisions, for our good health, our good wealth and well-being? Guys, it hurts Him deeply, I'm telling you. The Bible's more than just a compilation of stories. It's the Holy Spirit-inspired revelation of God Himself given to men so that we might know Him better. If you believe that, say amen. Guys, this was God-breathed here by the Holy Spirit of God to help us understand what's going on here. To help us understand what's going on here. Guys, this is not some storybook. Oh, you hear people out there in the world, you believe all that junk is just a bunch of lies. That Bible ain't nothing but a bunch of lies. It's about a man named Jesus who supposedly went through here healing people and raising the dead. Man, that stuff can't happen. Oh, yeah, it can. If it happened in God's Word, it happened. Amen? Because you got to believe these promises in order to be able to receive them. I believe, too, that God's Word reveals there are conditions that got to be met in order for you to receive these perfect promises. Let me tell you what I think one of those is. One of them is you must be a child of God to receive them. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. God's promises are for who? His children. God's promises are for His children. I don't know any other way to say this except to say it. If you are of this world, these promises are not going to come to pass in your life until you know Jesus as your Savior. Amen. That's the only way these are going to happen. You've got to be a child of God in order to be able to tap into these promises. If you're not born again, you have no legal right to God's promises. It's just not going to happen. And guys, the second thing is this. You've got to ask in faith and believe that God hears. Believe God hears and answers your prayers. You've got to believe that. See, if you don't have the faith to believe that, you know, what's flawed here, guys, is man's distortion of the promises that God's given to His children. It's our distortion of it. Let me tell you something. I believe the Word of God, and no one can convince me that His promises are not true. Amen?
Amen.
I believe every one of them is true. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Every one of His promises are true. How do I know that? Because I've experienced a lot of them. Have I experienced all of the tens of thousands of them that are in there? Maybe not necessarily, but I've experienced enough of them to know they're true. Amen? I know they're true. The second thing I believe you got to have in order to be able to understand His promises is you have to read the instructions. Let me ask you something. How many of you put together things before? Anybody? How many of you like to just sit the directions over there and say, I know what I'm doing? Then when you get done, there's about 10 pieces that aren't somewhere they're supposed to be. Amen. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, the instructions are over here. Well, guys, guess what they put those in there for? Those were put in there to help you put together what it was you're trying to put together. God's instruction book, His Word, is there to help us put ourselves together in the right way. Amen? That's what it's there for. If we're going to ignore the instruction book, how are we going to be put together right? If we're going to continue to ignore His Word, how are we going to be put together correctly? It's just not going to happen. So we got to stay in His Word. We got to understand, hey, this is my instruction book. You got to read God's Word and know what it says in order to put it to work in your life. You will never put to work what God's Word says if you don't read it. Amen? I'm going to tell you, there's a saying that says a dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. I believe that.
Amen.
I believe that. If your Bible goes on the shelf when you get home and you leave this church and go to your house, you sit your Bible on an area in an area in your house, and you don't pick it up until the next Sunday, then you've missed out on some instructions God wanted you to have for that week. You've missed out on some promises God wanted to reveal to you for that week. Guys, you can't put it up. You say you're a born-again believer in Jesus. You say you're a follower of Christ. Well, here's your instruction book. Here's your directions. So we got to do that. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
We hear it through reading it. We hear it through spoken word. There's been plenty of times when I've read a scripture. How many of you have done this before? You start reading a scripture. You read it and say, oh, okay, that's really good, God. That's pretty neat. You come back 2 weeks later and read it, has a whole different meaning to you. Anybody ever done that? Oh, I've done that plenty of times. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit communicating what He wanted you to know that week for that particular scripture. And guess what? You wouldn't have known that if you hadn't picked up God's Word and started reading it. Guys, this book was not meant to just sit on a shelf. This is the most popular book ever published. The most purchased book ever published. But yet it sits on more desktops collecting dust than any other book in the world. Can you believe that? It's true. People will take a book they buy that's a bestseller. They'll read it. They'll go through it. They'll put it up and say, man, that was a good book. I'm going to read that book again. Pull it back down, read it again. But a lot of us will take the most published book in the world and leave it sitting on our counter and don't even open it up during the week. Guys, we can't get instruction that way. It's not going to happen. The Word of God is a two-edged sword, really. I'm going to be honest with you. It can either bring blessing or it can bring destruction. It can bring blessing or destruction. Look at what the verse says here in verse 15. This proves what I'm trying to say here. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you. Now look, I'm promising you the good things, but here's what's going to happen. So shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. In other words, if you choose to disobey his promises and disobey his word, there are going to be consequences. You say, well, preacher, I've not experienced any of them. Yes, you have. Arrogance is one of them. Amen. You've experienced them. You just may not be willing to admit it. But I'm going to tell you what. God wants, if you believe that God wants the best for you, say amen.
Amen.
He wants the best for you. He's given you everything you need to succeed. He's given you the ability to get out of bed. He's given you a mind to think with. He's given you shelter to stay under. He's given you clothing to wear. He's given you food. He's taken care of your basic needs. Now all he wants you to do is grow in his word and let him nurture you as you move along in your life. That's what he wants. His promises will hold true. But you go against God's promises. You go against God's word and you're on your own. I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm helping try to get somebody from point A to point B, and we're following God's word, and we're doing what God's called us to do, and you want to go from point B back to point A, I can't help you anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I have to wash my hands of that. I'm not going to quit loving you. I'm not going to quit supporting you. But if you're going to disobey God, see, that's what happened to the Israelites. That's what happened to them. They were disobedient. God said, yeah, I'm going to deliver you from Egypt. Yes, we're going to cross this desert. Yes, it's not going to be easy, but trust me and I'm going to take care of you. But guess what? They leaned on their own understanding. We had it better in Egypt. We're out here in the middle of the desert. Did God let them go hungry one day? No, sir. Did he let them go without something to drink? No, sir. Did he take care of them every day? Yes, sir. But that wasn't enough. You see, the devil was still working in the hearts and minds of those people while they were out there. Their disobedience brought what? Destruction to a large number of them. A lot of the people did not get to see what God had promised them. Why? Because they were disobedient. God's word is either going to bring blessing in your life or it's going to bring destruction in your life. There's no gray area here. You're either going to be blessed or you're going to be destroyed. Now, you may not, God's not going to just reach down probably and zap you. And pew, there you go. But your life is going to show what's happening. Okay? That's the point I want you to understand. Guys, there's so many exhortations in the word for us to study. I want to read a few of these to you here today. Let me just, give me a minute now. These are in a more up-to-date modern version here that was actually in the text I was looking at. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase these real quick. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's the key to success. You got to meditate on God's word day and night. You can't just do it on Sunday. You can't just be a one and doneer. Did that make sense? You know what I mean? One and done. Oh, I came Sunday. Woo, I checked that off my bucket list now. I'm good for the rest of the week. And put his word up and just live however you want to. That ain't the way it works. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Unless you're like me and I take it and eat it. Amen. Woo, praise God for cake. Amen. I know that didn't have anything to do with the sermon, but I just want to talk about cake for a minute, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 through 21 says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. I've preached on these verses before. Some of you may remember them several years back. Look at what it says here. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. You know what God was saying there? Keep teaching about my word. Keep talking about it. I don't care if you're walking down the road. I don't care if you're sitting at home. Talk about me. Don't be ashamed to talk about me. Tell it to your children. Parents, let me tell you something. Don't be ashamed if one day you get a call saying that your children or your child has gotten into some trouble. They may want you to come down to the jail or whatever. Don't blame them if you didn't get in God's word and teach them what it said. Don't blame them if you didn't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, bring up a child in the way he should go. What does that mean? You teach them godly principles. Does that mean they're going to walk a straight and narrow path all through their life? No, but what it means is you give them the foundation and they're not going to just wander off without coming back eventually. That is a promise from God right there. Bring up a child in the way he should go, and when they grow old, it doesn't say they may not depart from it. It says they won't depart far from it. In other words, you got the foundation. Let me do the rest of the work. I'll bring them back. I'll get them back in a right relationship. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 16 says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. God was giving the people some directions about how he's going to take care of them as they were getting ready to go in the promised land. Well, guess what? A lot of them didn't get to go. You know why? They were disobedient. So guys, I'm telling you, there's a lot of exhortations in God's word that show us just what God means here. And that brings me to my third point and final point today. You have to follow the instructions. Okay, first of all, the instructions are flawless. You got to read the instructions in order to know them. But now here's the kicker. You have to follow the instructions. See, that's the one that gets us right there. Oh, God, now, wait a minute. How many of you have heard somebody try to say this in this day and age in which we live? Oh, well, that was back in Bible times. Things are different now. God, I don't think God wants us to do it that way anymore. God's word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen? It has not changed. We're the ones who have changed. Why? Because we have allowed the world to change our perspective on God's word. We've allowed the world to change our perspective on God's word. It has not changed. And it's not going to change. So if you're going to some church that believes that you can change around what God's word says just to try to please the crowd and appease the crowd, then get out of that church right now. I'm telling you right now. Because God's word doesn't change. Yeah, our understanding of it sometimes can be different depending on what scripture we're reading. But God's word is there. It's always been there. It's not going to change. Guys, we've got to follow the instructions. Look at verse 16 of our text. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. How many of you serve another god? Raise your hand. Anybody? Well, guess what? I believe we got some people lying in here today. You know why? Because anything you put ahead of serving God is a god in your life. It's called an idol. I believe some of us have allowed certain things in our lives to usurp the position that God should have in our life. God, family, everything else. When you get those out of whack, then things are not going to be right in your life. I can tell you that. So you see, we've got to understand that God, when he gave this covenant to these people, he meant it. They broke it. He didn't break it. He told them, hey, there's going to be consequences here if you don't obey me. Yeah, he got mad at them. He wanted to just wipe them out. Moses interceded on their behalf. Or he would have just got rid of all of them before they went into the promised land. With the exception of Joshua and Caleb and a few others. The rest of them would have perished right there. Guys, there are a variety of things that can happen to nullify the full impact of the promises of God. The first is this: disobedience to the word of God. Let me tell you something. We can sugarcoat this all we want to. We can call it a mistake. We can call it a spiritual lapse, a misunderstanding. But the bottom line is that disobedience to the word of God is, has, and always will be sin. That's what it is. When you disobey God's word, that is a sin issue in your life. You're like, well, preacher, I thought sin was like killing people. Yeah, those can be sins too, but to disobey God's word is probably one of the biggest sins you can commit. Because it's going to lead to multiple sin issues in your life if you disobey God's word. It's going to lead to them. Guys, unconfessed sin or continual sin will keep you from receiving these promises that God has given you. You can't, even as a child of God, if you're living in sin and continuing to sin without confessing. And guys, we're going to sin. Let me make sure you understand that. I told you 8 years ago you hired a sinner for your preacher. Some people about had a heart attack when I said that. They're like, my gosh, we need to call the committee together now and get rid of him now. He's a sinner. The point I was trying to make is I'm not perfect, okay? None of us are. But I don't deliberately set out each day to sin. Now, I may sin along the way, but some people continue to do it day in and day out. Say they're a born-again believer in Christ and wonder why their life is not being able to tap into these promises God's given. It won't work. It's not going to work. Unconfessed sin or continual sin is going to keep you from receiving God's promises. The second is this, unforgiveness towards others. Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. You know the story. Long story short, this servant came to his master. He owed him a debt. He's like, well, master, please don't throw me in jail. I can't pay this. The master forgave him. He goes off then, finds a servant that owed him money, and tries to throw him in jail because he wouldn't pay him. What kind of person is that, right? That's the way some people are, though. You'll forgive them of something, they'll turn right around to somebody else and blame them and get on them for the same thing you were just forgiven for. Unforgiveness is an attitude of the heart. Unforgiveness is an attitude of the heart. It's a spiritual problem. It's going to keep you from receiving God's promises, guys. Unforgiveness is the root of a lot of things that go wrong in your life. So those of you that want to be angry at that person, that don't want to forgive that person in your life, you know who that person is. I don't know who it is. But I believe there's some people in this house today that are angry and bitter at somebody. And you're allowing God's blessings and promises to exit your life and not come into your life because you're not willing to forgive them. I didn't say you had to go run and be buddies with them. But we're commanded to forgive. Jesus' disciple said, Father, how often ought we forgive our brother? 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. And I know what some of you are thinking, well, that's 70 times, that's 490. I've already forgiven him 489 times. I've only got one more left. That's the way some people think, right? No, it means you forgive them as often as they come and ask you for forgiveness. And you leave the rest up to who? God. Don't worry about it. Forgive them. They may keep doing the same things over and over. God's going to correct them in his time. I can promise you that. The third thing is this, unbelief. If you're not convinced that God will do what he promised, then you will probably not receive that promise if you don't even believe he's going to do it. How can you receive it if you don't believe it? Number four is this, asking with the wrong motive. The book of James tells us we receive not because we ask not, and then sometimes when we do ask, we're asking with the wrong motives. That's why God doesn't give it. God's not going to give you anything that will be detrimental to you serving him. So don't even pray for it. If God knows you can't handle money, don't pray for it because he's not going to give it to you. He's going to give you enough to survive on and he's going to take care of your needs and that's all you need, amen? We don't need any more than that. That's all we really need, right? And then every one of God's promises is true for the purpose to bring glory to God. See, his promises are there to bring glory to him. He brings glory to himself through giving us these promises and allowing us to tap into them. Every time we do something good for someone and we don't puff our chest out and want to be recognized for it, the glory goes to who? It goes to God. And it's going to continue to do that. And the last thing I want to point out today that I believe is a roadblock to receiving these promises is we don't ask in Jesus' name. We don't ask it in the name of Jesus. Here's how some people pray. Lord, I want to ask you to heal my brother, my sister, my spouse, my child. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's it. Man, you better be calling on the name of Jesus if you want some healing done. You better be saying, Lord, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to heal my loved one right now in Jesus' name. That's the way you pray. You don't just say, dear Lord, blah, 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 amen. You need to call on the name of Jesus. Praying by using in Jesus' name means you're praying according to the will of God. And you're praying with Jesus' authority that He's given to believers to call on Him. When Jesus gave His disciples the Great Commission in the book of Mark chapter 16, He said for them to go and make disciples of all nations. He said, you will have the power to heal. You will have the power to cast out demons. How often do we tap into that? When's the last time you cast a demon out of somebody? I'll be doing it next week, amen, when I get to school. That's what I tell them anyway. I was like, I'm going to cast a demon out of you. The kids look at me like I'm crazy. But guys, God's given us that authority in His name. But we think it's a joke. Some people think it's a joke. It's no joke. If it's in God's Word, it's true. If you don't believe it, try it. I want to close by asking you this today. What is it in you that keeps you from receiving all the promises God has for you? What's keeping you from receiving them? Do you believe the Word? Do you know the Word? Do you act on the Word? Well, I'm telling you guys, Jesus is asking you to do that today. He's asking you to act on the Word, to know the Word, to believe the Word. I want you to set aside any hindrances in your life and trust Him, because not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. We read that in our text. None of them's failed. They're there. When God promised them, it was done. So guys, we gotta make these stipulations. We've got to understand these things in order to tap into that. I want to ask you today, when we come up here and we sing in just a minute, to come up here. If you need to come up here to this altar and say, Lord, I've not been able to tap into some of your promises because I have had some areas of unbelief. I have had some areas of unforgiveness. I have not always believed that your word was really what it says it was. Guess what? God will forgive you for that. We serve a loving God. Aren't you glad Jesus loves you?
Amen.
If you are, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say amen. Okay, good. You're still awake. Amen. All right. Guys, Jesus loves you. There's nothing you've done in your life you can't be forgiven for except one thing, and that's rejecting Jesus. That's the only thing you can't be forgiven for. So don't think you're too bad a person for God to forgive you. But I believe this now with all my heart. If there's unforgiveness in your heart and there's sin issues in your heart that you've left unconfessed, you're blocking His channel of blessings and you're blocking His promises for coming into your life. You got to correct that, guys. You got to put a stop to it. It's just like I tell people sometimes. You know, people say, oh, well, he's just a product of his ancestors. He's just another one in the line. Well, guess what? At some point in time, somebody's got to break the chain. Somebody's got to break the chain of sin, generational sin. Somebody's got to break it. Somebody's got to step up to the plate and be better than your parents were. Be better than your grandparents were. Be better than all those back behind you. And walk in the light and stay in it. Somebody's got to break the chain. I ask you today, are you going to do that? Or are you just going to be another statistic for people to say, oh, well, they act just like their dad. Oh, well, they act just like their mom. An apple don't fall far from the tree. I mean, have you used that expression before? Amen. Hopefully your family tree does have branches on it. Amen. You know, but guys, listen, there's so many promises God's given us. Won't you tap into them? Won't you do the things we talked about today that'll let you tap into those promises? Because I can promise you this, when you do, and when you believe those promises, God's going to do some great things in your life. But until you believe that those promises are true, and you read His Word, you understand it's flawless, and you follow the directions, you're never going to tap into them. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for everybody that's here today, who took the time out to be in Your house today. I pray, God, that what we talked about will challenge hearts and minds today. Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs to know You as their Savior, I pray they will. Lord, what an awesome time we have had today already. What great songs we had sung today by some beautiful voices You blessed some people with, Lord. And I thank You for those gifts. I thank You for their willingness to use those gifts. And God, I just pray now that Your will and Your way will be done in this part of our service. Lord, that we'll go away from here today, that we'll come back again this evening ready to study Your Word in fellowship. We're going to have some fellowship time tonight. And Lord, I'm just asking that, and I'm just praying that, Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn 509.
Hymn 509. Let's stand and sing. As always, the altar's open. Hymn number 509.